Cheers, Mike. It is Mike?
Yep.
Good start. Yeah, Holy Spirit notices. I like that. I'm stealing that. We'll use that next week at CCR, and I'll say it was my idea. Great idea. Thank you. Yeah, so my name's Craig Prentice. I'm one of the leaders of what's now called Thanet Community Churches. So over lockdown, we changed the name of the charity at the center of what we're about in Thanet to Thanet Community Churches, which reflects that 10 years ago, we planted CCR, Community Church Ramsgate. And just before lockdown, we planted a small congregation into Margate, about 15 adults, with a view to seeing that grow, just as like we grew in Ramsgate over the last 10 years. And then over lockdown, we've just planted a small congregation onto the Westover Estate in Broadstairs. So we're now a set of churches, a family of three small churches in Thanet. We're still trying to figure out what to call ourselves. So the charity's called Thanet Community Churches, but that all sounds a bit corporate and a bit, you know, website and glossy and a bit shiny. So I'm not a fan of that. So we're really trying to call it things like Community Church, like CCR, CCM, CCB, but that's a bit of a mouthful. So currently, we're kind of getting some grace for, at least I am, CCR&B. CCR&B, which always feels like I need some sort of soundtrack behind me when I say it. But the only thing that goes on in my head when I say R&B is R. Kelly, which isn't that helpful. So, yeah, so that's me. I'm married to Heather. We've been married a number of years. I think 21. Yeah? Great. And I'm saving someone's bacon today, who was meant to be preaching, but it's their wedding anniversary today. Is that my friend over here? No. He's not even here. What a good man. Okay, that makes a ton of sense. But we've been married 21 years. We've got three wonderful children. Charlotte, who's 19, Jacob, who's 18, and Isabel, who's 15. Yep, that's correct. that's us. And we've been serving the Lord in Thanet since we've been living there in many ways. But we planted CCR 10 years ago, and God's been very kind and gracious to us. We've seen lots of wonderful fruit. But it's an absolute privilege and pleasure to be here with you today. You're in this series, The Great Commission, and I've been asked to speak specifically on those two words, therefore go. And I've got half an hour to do it. Okay, give me the evil eyes, Mike, okay? So let's just remind ourselves of the passage of Scripture that you're looking at. It says this from verse 18, Jesus says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Where do you see yourself in relation to that passage? One thing you're going to get in this series, I'm sure, is that you're now one of the disciples who Jesus is saying, go to. Okay? If you don't hear that, that's kind of what it's saying to the church today. I'm a disciple, and I've been told to go. And today I'm going to tell you, just like Jesus tells you, you've got to be about going. So we're to go, and you're also disciples who are called to go make disciples and then teach those disciples how to obey Jesus. That's your job. That's my job. That's our identity as Christians. We're followers of Jesus who make more followers of Jesus, and then we teach those new followers of Jesus how to follow Jesus as we ourselves are learning how to follow Jesus. But you're also in this passage as well, not just the person receiving the command to go, but you're a beneficiary of people going. So you're someone who's received the goodness of God because people heard this and have gone. So 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, some people took this command seriously. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they went. They went into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here's a cool thing. When God said this to those disciples, he had Whitstable on his mind. That was the ends of the earth. They probably never heard of Whitstable. I doubt very much that Whitstable was even a place back then. When was Whitstable founded? By the Romans? Probably. Is it Roman or Norse? Who knows? Anywho, You were on Jesus' mind when he said to those disciples, go, make disciples, and teach those disciples to obey everything, which will include them going and moving on and going to new places. And now it's landed at you guys. You're a recipient and a beneficiary of the grace of God because someone took seriously the command to go. I mean, who told you? Who took this seriously and told you the good news of Jesus Christ? And where would you be if they hadn't have told you? Can you imagine if Christianity had never arrived in the UK? Just down the road, in Sandwich, is when Augustine, maybe, someone like that, arrived on a boat, 300 and whatever AD. What if he hadn't taken that seriously? It'd never come to this part of the world. And then, you know, the thread of grace runs through time. And then someone received the gospel and they said, I need to tell you. Was it a youth leader? Was it a parent? Was it an evangelist on the street? The point is that you're a recipient of grace. I wrote this down. Before you'll take seriously the command to go is the need to celebrate the truth that someone went. Enjoy that. Until you enjoy the gospel, and I think that's what we've been trying to do this morning as we've worshipped. Unless you enjoy the gospel and realize just how good it is, then you're not going to have the fuel in your heart to share it with other people. It will just become a dry command. It would just be like, I don't know, who was that who did that? Your headmaster? Your dad? It's just another thing that you are supposed to do, the should-haves that we've heard this morning. Until you realize that you were the wretch. You were the wretch that we were talking about. You don't deserve any of this. You're not entitled to any of this. And yet, by God's grace, he's caused someone to come and tell you the good news of Jesus Christ, that you might be forgiven of your sin. Forgiven of your sin. Thank God I'm forgiven of my sin. Because I'm a wretch, and the only thing I've earned for myself is hell. And yet, what do I receive in Christ? Forgiveness for my sin. And the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is the gift of God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I've received salvation. This is such good news. I don't know if you watch Have I Got News For You on a Friday night. I think I caught up with it on Saturday morning. They joked about this study that some boffins, some kind of bored boffins over lockdown, they did this study to find out what is the scientific formula for happiness. Did anyone see that? Scientific formula for happiness was essentially lower your expectations. Okay, so if you lower your expectations, then you're more likely to, you know, things will be better than you expected, and so you'll be happy. Christian, lower your expectations about what you think you're entitled to. We deserve nothing. All our sins earn for us is damnation and hell. I mean, that's the part of the gospel, okay? That's not the whole gospel, thank God, okay? But what does Keller say? The gospel first humbles us into the dust. It humbles us into the dust. It holds a mirror up to us, doesn't it? And say, actually, I deserve none of this. One of the best things that God can do for you is to actually help you realize what a wretch you are, what a wretch we are, before God tells you, no, I can forgive you. I can fill you with the Spirit. I can adopt you into my family, both now and forevermore. If you're enjoying that, lower your expectations about what you're entitled to, because we deserve nothing. And yet, in Christ, we receive everything. We receive everything. When your heart, that, I mean, if I was to give you one bit of kind of nugget of truth to go away with that will change your motivation for going to people that are lost, it would be that. Enjoy the gospel. Enjoy the gospel. Love it. Celebrate it. Sing about it. Get into small groups and remind each other of it. And then get amongst lost and broken people with that joy in your heart. And if people are buzzing with good news, they share it. They just do. I could go on for hours if you want me to about how my fantasy football team did this year. And I did really well. I mean, I did really well. I got Gundogan in just at the right time and triple captained him on just the right week. I could go for hours if you want me to, because that's such good news in my life right now. I beat my son in the Fantasy Football League this year. In your face, Jacob Prentice. When the gospel is good news to you, when it's fresh, when you're reveling in it, when you can't quite believe that God chose you to be his child, that you're going to spend an eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. Oh, man. Best news you've ever heard. Okay. Wasn't really what I came to talk about, but I went off on one. Here's what I want to talk about. It's a pattern for mission for Christians. This summarizes what Jesus taught. It summarizes Jesus's mission when he was here on earth. It summarized the mission of the early church. If you go to places like Mark chapter 4, you'll see Jesus teaching about farmers and fields and seeds. It helps us understand what the mission of the church is. Let me really buzz through this because I haven't got long. But it starts with a farmer. Okay, there's the farmer with his farmer's hat on, and the farmer looks out into an empty field. So this is one field in four stages of growth. Okay, it's called the four fields. The farmer looks out into an empty field, and he can kind of see the future where there'll be a healthy crop, a field that's full of plants. In fact, he's already tasting the bread from the wheat. Okay, he's enjoying it. He's harvested his grapes and he's made his wine. He's enjoying what's to come, although it's an empty field at the moment. And he's not an idiot. He knows it's going to take some hard graft. He knows that there's a cost, that if he's going to step into that field, he's got to do some work. Do you remember that kid's story, the little red hen? Anybody else remember that? And the little red hen went to all the other farmyard animals and asked them to harvest the corn and grind the corn and make the bread. And then, but it was only the little red hen that did any of it. And so he was the only one that got to enjoy the bread. Remember that? There's a hard graft. Yeah, I'm pleased some parents are nodding. That was part of my childhood right there. And then the farmer is like, well, I've got to go and farm because I'm a farmer. This is what farmers do. In fact, if I'm not doing farming, I'm not a farmer. The farmer's been adopted into a farming family. Do you see where I'm going with this? Farmers farm. This is what we do. Okay, then he goes into field one. And remember, this is an empty field. But to begin with, he needs to be present in the field. He needs to leave his comfortable farmhouse. He needs to prepare the soil. He needs to put in the graft. He prepares the soil for the sowing of seed. So this is field two. And he sows the seed there liberally. Okay, Mark chapter 4, you'll see that. The seed goes everywhere. And then in field three, this is out of the farmer's control. This is not something he can do, but once the seed is sown, some of it will take root. Some of it will start to grow. That's out of his control. Again, Mark chapter 4, read it there. Though he can't cause the seed to grow, he can, once it starts growing, make sure that it gets enough food and water, enough light. He might need to put up a bit of trellis to help it grow. He might need to put some protection over it so that it grows healthily and well and is protected from the birds. Ultimately, he can't make it grow, but he can help it grow. He can nurture the growth that is happening. And then in field four, he harvests the crops. He gathers them together. And then lastly, that the circle in the middle there, from that harvest, he takes some of the seed and sows it into new empty fields. Again, this is a farming picture, farming metaphor. It helps us understand what the mission of disciples of Jesus is, what Jesus modeled, what Jesus taught, what the early church did, what healthy churches have been doing for the last 2,000 years, and what we should be about here in Kent. Let me explain it a little bit more with the time that we've got. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time at the end thinking about being that farmer looking out onto empty fields. But just know this, that Jesus is calling us to look out for new people in new places that don't know Jesus. Places where the kingdom of God hasn't come. Places where Jesus isn't the king over people's hearts and lives and families and communities. But field number one, so actually Christians going to new people and new places. What do we do when we're there? How are we to live in a country, in a town here in Whitstable, where the vast majority of people aren't worshipping Jesus as their Lord and Saviour? Well, Jesus has taught us how to do that. We're to love God faithfully and we're to love people well. We're to live out the commands of Christ as they've been taught to us. We're to live with his presence and with his power. I think what's really important is to love our, of course it is, to love our neighbour as ourselves. It's like the great command. But to look out for the weak and the poor and the vulnerable and the excluded, the isolated, the lonely, those that are broken. That's our job, Christians, to show compassion and mercy and kindness, to pray for people, to pray with people, to practice hospitality. Here's what's true. This is what we've found to be true in Thanet. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. People do not care what you know about Jesus until they know that you care. If your motivation isn't to love that person, and because you love them, you share the gospel with them, then there's a million and one other voices out there telling them their version of good news. This will just get drowned out in the hubbub of the nonsense of the Twitterverse. But people, if people know that you love them, or at least if people know that you're people who love people, suddenly the volume gets turned up on our message. I'm not going to dwell here, but there's also a pattern in Scripture, what Jesus taught about going into new places and to new people and finding the person of peace. I'm not going to dwell there today. There's also a pattern in Scripture about going to new people and new places and sharing the gospel with the religious and the spiritual, those that are looking for spiritual direction, those that have got into Jordan Peterson. They're looking for answers. Those who've got into veganism, they're looking for answers. Those that want to save the planet, and you know, militant vegans, they're interested in spiritual matters. Okay, gotta love the militant vegans. Apologies if there's any militant vegans in the room right now. We love you. And what do we do when we've built those relationships with people? Well, what's the most loving thing that you can do for anyone? To tell them about Jesus, announce the good news, and call people to repent and believe. It's not rocket science. Do you remember that helpful adage? Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Great fridge magnet, great on your Facebook wall, but utter nonsense. It's not really true, is it? Because telling someone to preach the gospel at all times and if necessary use words is like saying, give someone your phone number and if necessary use digits. Because the gospel is words. The gospel is an announcement of some good news. Do you know what that news is? I mean, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've got to find a way of succinctly announcing the good news of Jesus. I'm not going to do that today. But you've got to find a quick way so you can get a back of a fag packet and draw out some. We'd use this thing called the three circles. It's been incredibly useful to describe the gospel to someone. There's other ways you can do it. The point is, if you're a follower of Jesus, for goodness sake, find a way that fits for you to be able to tell the good news of Jesus in a succinct way. Can you quickly tell someone the impact that Jesus has made on your life? Like in the last season of your life. What difference did it make following Jesus through lockdown? We need to tell God's story and we need to tell our story as we love new people in new places. And then just very quickly, when people respond to the good news, and they will, Jesus has got authority. When people hear the good news, some will respond to the good news. We can't force that. That's a work of the living God in the hearts of people that he loves. But when people do respond to the good news, it is our job, church, individual followers of Jesus, to nurture that growth, to provide friendship and community and teaching, taking baby steps with baby Christians about what it means to obey Jesus, to teach newbies what it means to follow Jesus. You need some really... See, this is the thing that sits in my Bible, a set of simple stories of Jesus that tell people the commands of Jesus that people can quickly obey. And then lastly, and this is really challenging, it's after those initial stages of growth, that's when we're to welcome them into an existing church community, like Whitstable Community Church, or start a new community of faith. Let's not overcomplicate it. So what we tend to do as Christians, and I've done this most of my Christian life, is that we meet a new person and the very first thing that we think of is, We need to get them there on Sunday. Come to church. That's not a terrible thing to do, okay? It's not a terrible thing to do. I tell you what, a better thing to do is to get to know them and to love them, to hear their story. You tell them your story. You share the gospel. You share the gospel with them. You share your story with them. You pray with them and pray for them, and they become a follower of Jesus. And then you take them through the early stages of what it means to trust Jesus. And then you baptize them and welcome them into the family of God here at Whitstable Community Church. If all we do as churches is run Sunday events, then all we're going to get is people that sit and watch a concert from the front. If we plant churches and run church events, all we're going to get are participants, and we may or may not make more disciples of Jesus. If we go out and make disciples of Jesus, we will always see the church grow. We will always plant new churches. Disciples of Jesus. I'm preaching to the converted, literally, I hope. It's our job to make more disciples of Jesus. And then wouldn't it be great that once they're following Jesus, they come into the community of faith, or we plant new churches in Whitstable. And that's what the leaders thing is. This is just normal Christian life, that once you've learned the way of Christ, you then go out into new fields, to new places, and make more followers of Jesus. This is just, there's a church in South Korea, and the guy says, if you've been at this church for 3 years, you've been here too long, because I've taught you everything that you need to know. Now go. Go somewhere else. Plant a new church somewhere. Move somewhere if you need to. In Thanet, we're not that cool, but there is a sense in which we still want to keep pushing small. So once we got to 50 or 70 adults who were following Jesus, then it was at that point that we planted into Margate. It was the week that we moved into our brand new building that we had our first prayer meetings for planting into Margate. And then over lockdown, we've planted this new small community faith. And I'm talking like 12 to 15 Christians. And God's blessing us with new life and new fruit as we're trying to follow this pattern. I've got 8 minutes, okay? I just want to kind of poke you where you need to be poked a bit, or encourage you where you need to be encouraged a bit. Okay, let's go through some of these. Where should you go? Where are there non-Christians? Go there. Okay, let's not overcomplicate it. The first disciples, with the power of the Holy Spirit, they went to Jerusalem. That's where they were. Then to Judea. That was the next kind of, that was the region they were in. Then to Samaria. That was the next region. And then to the ends of the earth. Okay, but are there any non-Christians in Whitstable? Okay, let's start there. Okay, and in that sense, you're already going. You're already there. In fact, you're already a witness in that place. It's just whether you're a good one or not. People are already reading your life about what's important to you and who you're following. So you are a witness. The question isn't whether am I a witness, is am I a good witness or not? Am I actually telling the truth of what it is to follow Jesus? Oh, that was a bit harsh, wasn't it? Sorry about that. What you need is to ask for more power and more courage. Read Acts chapter 3. Under persecution, what did they pray for? They prayed for more courage, more power. And of course, God will give it to you. Okay, let's go for this. Go to the least and the last and the lost. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 14, verses 16 to 23, Jesus says this: a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just brought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. And another said, I've just got married, so I can't come. Whitstable Community Church, you've planted, you've replanted here, you've rebranded, you've got a great website. There's a sense in which you're inviting those that are interested to come and be with you as a community of faith. How's that going? I mean, you've faithfully invited people to come to be part of this community of faith, to celebrate good news for you. Praise the Lord. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. But what does Jesus say next? Because lots of those people that you've invited to come to church are not interested. I've got other things to do, thanks. Sunday mornings when we play rugby. Sorry. Or, you know, I've got to rest. I've got to rest on a Sunday morning, I've got a busy week at work, etc., etc. There's all sorts of people that you've invited to come and hear good news and celebrate good news, and they're not interested. What does Jesus say next? 21. The servant came back and reported this to his master. The owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you've ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Go to the vulnerable. Go to the weak. Go to the widow and the orphan and the foreigner in the land. Go to the least and the last and the lost. There are hundreds of people a stone's throw away from this place where we sit right now, I am sure, who are lonely, who are broken, who are fed up, who are afraid, who have got no friends or family around them, who are wondering what coronavirus was all about. Go to them. They need the gospel. They need the gospel community. Here's a thought. People who are suffering over the last 18 months during this crazy time have been crying out to God for help. God help me. I've got nobody else. God help me. They don't know God's name, because his name is Jesus. We know that. We know what God is like because we've seen it in Jesus. They're crying out to God for help. We need to tell them about Jesus. They are crying out for the gospel community. We're to go to them. We're to go to the least and the last and the lost. And Jesus says, get a wiggle on. Well, not literally. I don't think that's an exact translation. But my point is, we've got to get a move on. There are broken people. There are lonely people who need the gospel, who need the gospel community. Why should you go? Jesus commands it. Okay? I mean, if you need to be reminded of that, do you remember when Jesus says he's got all authority? Yeah, we celebrate that he's got authority over all the earth, but has he got authority over you? When he says he's got all authority, this is what occurred to me when I was preparing this. That means he's got authority in my life. He's my Lord. And if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Let me just hang here for a bit. Anyone with kids who's told their children, hello, child, have you ever told them to tidy the room? He's too young, probably. Okay, tidy your room, okay? Jacob, Charlotte, Isabel, if you're watching, tidy your room. I can't be more clear about what I want you to do. Tidy your room. And then one of them will come to me. Dad, can I just check I've heard you properly? Can you repeat what you've said? Yeah, no problem. Tidy your room. Dad, I'm not really feeling in the mood for room tidying today. Can we have a snuggle first? Yeah, sure. Come on. Let's have a snuggle. Let's have a snuggle. Tidy your room. Dad, I'm really tired. I'll do it later. No, tidy your room. Dad, I feel ill-equipped on room tidying. No, tidy your room. Dad, it's too big a task. The room is too messy. I cannot do it. I'll do it with you. Tidy your room. Dad, you'll be really pleased with me. I've participated in a 6-part teaching series about room tidying. Tidy your room. Dad, we went to somewhere and they had a visiting speaker who talked about room tidying. Tidy your room. Dad, I've learnt some brilliant songs about room tidying. We're going to tidy our room. Tidy our room. Tidy your room. Dad, I've read some books about room tidying. I've got a 5-point plan for room tidying. Tidy your room. Dad, I've formed a small group. We're getting together once a week, and we're going to chat about how we might tidy our rooms. Tidy your room. Dad, I've studied some inspiring figures of the past who did incredible room tidying. Tidy your room. Dad, I've learned what tidy your room is in Greek. You get my point, I hope. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. I'm going to end. We must go to be with Jesus. He said he'd be with us. If you're not going with Jesus to where Jesus is going, then you're missing out. you're going to be a bit of a wonky Christian. Okay? We must go because God stirs love for people in our hearts. Imagine what it's going to be like when those people receive the gospel and are welcomed into the gospel community. We must go together. This is an individual pursuit. We do it together. Assume that you're going somewhere new at some point. Just assume that's going to be your life as a Christian. It's better to assume that you'll be going somewhere new and rather than assuming that you're going to stay. If God calls you to stay, stay. But I think the command is to go. So at some point in your life, you've got to go somewhere. And I'm going to end on this because Mike shared this scripture at the beginning. And that's God's providence in that, I believe. Go because you enjoy the gospel. This is 2 Corinthians 5. Start reading at verse 15. This is the gospel. I've run over a little bit. Forgive me. Jesus died for all. Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Are you grateful that Jesus did that for you? That he died for you? I am. Where would we be without Jesus? What would we have done? What hope did we have of saving ourselves? Now, what's this new life that he's given us? Not to live for ourselves, but to live for him. Verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Praise the Lord. I was dead and now I'm alive. I was an enemy of God. Now I'm a child of God. I was lost. Now I'm found. I was going to hell. Now I'm heading to heaven. This is the greatest news I've ever heard. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And then this. That's what we were celebrating earlier. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, any non-Christians here, any non-Christians watching, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, praise God, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Enjoy that. Revel in that. Fuel yourself up with that. Know who you are, Christian. Ask for the power of God, the gift of God that's promised to you. You've already got it if you've become a Christian, but ask for a fresh filling of your spirit that you might be Christ's ambassadors as we go. Let me pray. And then I'll hand back to Mike. Yeah. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you for this incredible good news that saves us and saves us for a right relationship with God both now and forevermore. God, thank you that you became sin on our behalf and you give us your righteousness. Lord God, help us know who we are today, children of the living God. God, do that for your glory and for our joy. Would this church family be a place where they enjoy the gospel, where they enjoy who they are in you, Christ? God, we thank you today again for the person you sent to us to tell us the good news. Thank you, God, for causing them to go. Thank you, God, for their courage. Thank you, God, that they pushed through the awkwardness. Thank you, God, that they did that in order that we might be saved. Now, God, send your spirit, as you've promised to do. Bring us to life. Infuse us. Empower us, encourage us to be people that are enjoying who we are in you, Jesus, and sharing that with others. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'd come now and do your work on individual hearts now. anything that you've said this morning, that God, you would work into people's hearts and that from their hearts that would move into their wills. That something, God, if this is the right time, that this would cause people to take a step with you, Lord Jesus, in the right direction. God, I pray that for everyone, of course, but maybe there's one or two of you that just know that you've got to do something after today's gathering. You could speak to Jeff, speak to Mike, speak to someone. I just know I need to change. I need to repent and believe this good news for me today. Don't wait for that. Get the ball rolling now. God, again, we pray all of this, that we might glorify you, that we might see churches full of joy, and that we might do this for the sake of others, for the least and the last and the lost. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. All right.
Yeah, just wow, thank you so much, Lord. I don't know about you, but I was reminded of much there. I don't know if we could just give Craig a round of applause there, yeah? Thank you so much, Craig. That was, there was a few ouches from me. I don't know about you, but there's a few, don't want to hear this, but yeah, we want to hear it. So as part of our series, we're blessed with so many lovely teachers that come and they intercede for us and teach us. But we also wanted a practical time as well. We're basically just to be encouraged. I really think this is going to be easy stuff for us. Yeah, the enemy wants to make it. He don't want us outside this building, does he? But the Lord says you're going to overflow. It's going to be great. We're going to have fun. Yeah. So we really want to encourage people that find this fun, that they find it easy, just to share. And we're really blessed in our midst to really just introduce you to Tony and Sylv. Yeah. So if you'd like to come up and take the mic. Yeah, Tony and Sylv are just going to introduce a little bit about themselves. Obviously, in lockdown, we haven't had a chance to really meet with these guys and really, you know, fellowship like normal. But so, guys, do you want to tell us a little bit about you and why this whole Go thing is so much fun for you too?
Because Jesus said it.
Yeah.
Carry.
All right. Not everybody knows this, but we came back just under 2 years ago to live over here after being in Portugal and Spain. So we didn't know anyone, just we've got a son lives here and grandchildren, but we didn't have anybody we knew. And we thought, this is going to be great. We're going to make friends. And before we'd really got going, the lockdown came. We live on a caravan site. There's over 500 caravans there. We tried desperately to begin with. Jeff gave us a little bit to do on YouTube, to asking people, was there anyone out there on our site? Because I put a Facebook on, would Christians like to get together? No, not a single person. So we knew we got a lot of work to do. But things are getting better.
And I particularly find it so easy to do this Go. Mm. I was reminded of that farmer, that picture, that just goes and sees an empty field, but sees church, and sees converts. So what's your kind of approach to it, then?
Well, one of the things with me is if I don't go, I hear the devil laughing at me. Mm-hmm. So you're a joke. Mm-hmm. Get going. Mm-hmm. And yep. So, well, he wouldn't say that to me, but the thing is that we just love people. Yeah. We love people. My background was that I would always beat people up and things like that, but I love people. I don't want to talk about what I was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to talk about what we are. And what you said is so true, everything. You know, just the other week, before I met you, we thought we was doing something we wanted. We got so fed up on the site, sitting about, people chucking things at me, saying, is it so-and-so Christian and things like that. And it was, you know, so we thought what we'd do, we'd join the gym. So we thought that.
Yeah.
So as we're walking down the road to go to the gym, weren't it? As I walked down the road, I see this woman, she was washing the car and watering the garden at the same time. I said, you couldn't get a bloke to do that, could you? She went, no, you couldn't. So I said, I think I've got a book for you. One of these ones that we gave you. And she went, oh, lovely. So we gave it. And then we went in the gym. And the people behind the counter, I chatted them. I'd gone in there and chatting to the people. And a lot of them knew me from years ago, wasn't it? Because I was a European champion, Commonwealth record holder and that, and a well-known crook. And what they had done was, I chatted to them, so I'll give them another one. And they go, these are special. They really are. And they say, thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's why we've put them there for you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Put them there for you guys. And a lot of people, they say, oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. You can. Because you're not doing it on your own. You, as your man said there, you can with Jesus. Goodness and mercy. It's quite crowded when you walk down the road here, all of you, because all the people are with you. And it's been absolutely wonderful doing it.
Yeah, I had lunch with these guys, and it was great. I think he gave out about four while we were just having our sandwich. But do you want to just practice on me what you do with these books, these little seed packets?
Everyone is frightened of going. And as you get one, these books anyway, I'll put them there for you, not to you to keep, I'll put in a drawer. They're for you to take out and give them to someone.
Yeah.
And you walk down the road, like, I see a guy like him, and I say, all right, mate, how you doing?
Yeah, all right, mate, how are you?
So you come from this way?
Yeah, yeah, I've been living in Whitstable for a long time.
Oh, where'd you come from before?
I come from the dreaded Isle of Shepherd.
Oh, don't. Don't. I lived there a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was worked for Swell Mental Health here.
Oh,
I was one of his outkeepers, looking after people and that. And that.
Never.
And that. So you're doing all right?
Yeah, not so bad.
Got a present for you.
A present?
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah?
A really lovely present I've got for you. Now,
yeah, what is it?
Keep care of this, because everyone will want one.
Yeah?
And what it is, it's a copy of 100 years old, and what they've done with it, when they've got them all done, you know, before the First World War,
yeah,
they took them and gave them to the boys and gave them a gun and a crash helmet and sent them off.
And that little book.
And that was it. Look.
What is the little book?
It's something to take home and read.
Okay, yeah. The Gospel of St. John, yeah?
Yeah, it's fabulous.
And all the soldiers had one of those?
Every one of them. Every one of them. And about, how many million of them died?
Yeah, yeah. And they all had one of them?
All had one of them.
Oh, thanks,
Sylvia,
mate.
We was at a place and Sylvia, she took it, didn't you?
Yeah. She ran upstairs and came down with the exact one which was given to her father.
Well, a real
one.
Yeah,
exactly the same.
So, that's a fantastic opening. I've never had anyone say they don't want it. Never. If you do it like that, be excited. Well, it's a wonderful thing. And then, like, the children like them. But then that I'll give you, and I've got another, see, and I found another 70, because we've given them out in Spain and Portugal. We've been all over the place. Therefore, going. A guy, you made me laugh. You said that every year you should get out. Have you heard of Roger Mitchell, part of ICFUS? Yeah. He used to say to me, Tone, stop in a place for a year, after a year they get fed up with you. You go then, before they throw you out. But that's what we got. And that's
brilliant.
What you've got.
And a friendly face and a smile.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the practical thing for this week is all about. Yeah. It's just, if you regularly contact people, you know, a desk or a shop or whatever, then just start to smile on them and, I mean, don't be creepy. But stand there. And, but it's just to just lighten up, smile and just say hello and get to know them. And can I just get that book? And that's for Tony and Sylv. That's, you know, what Craig was saying. They've worked out something, haven't they? And we're not saying that's all for you, but what we're saying is if you want to try it and you haven't got anything, well, start with that. Do you see what I mean? Start with that. But work out something that's going to get that seed across. This is the seed packet, isn't it? Whole seed packet. Yeah. And he gets that across. And he's literally sowing. You know, these two are going out, sowing every day, little conversations. And I noticed that, you know, when we go up the little high street there, people know him and they talk to them because it's not a one-off. It's a constant chat. So let's give these guys a big round of applause.
Wait,
can I just say one other thing?
So you guys, if you belong to a golf course, go back to it. If you belong to a working man's club, go back to it. All them places that you've come out of, go back to, because that's the fields are white for the harvest there. Not in the church, not in the churchyard. There, and one thing I learned many, many years ago, and I'll stop, is that Everest, I work for Everest, and the thing they told me was, when you go into a place, no one will buy anything off you at all if they don't like you. If you haven't come across nice, and once you get them going, you've got two ears and one mouth. Speak twice as little, listen twice as much as you speak, they should say. And you need to do that. And once you get someone going, You talk, let them talk about themselves. You know what I mean? One of the things he said to me, you'd be all right in here in church, he said to me, Tony, he said, when you go in, he said, someone might even say to you, oh, I'll clean the muck out of cuckoo clocks. You don't poo-poo it. And you say, oh, that's interesting. How long have you been doing that? Yeah. Oh, and so that, just let them talk, because people love to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And then you can lift so much. God bless you. And remember what your man said there. Therefore, go. It's not, you know, I mean, it's go. Something else, one, and I'm going.
Are you? Yeah.
One other thing is, today, I listened to David Jeremiah, and he said, it's a time for tearing down, and we've had that. We've had that tearing. Now it's a time for building, and building the Christian community, yeah. The kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Big round of applause to these guys. If you get a chance to talk to them, it's a treat. If you get a chance to go out for a coffee for them, it's a treat, I tell you. I was cracked up laughing with so many stories and so much challenge as well. It's just amazing. So we want to bring our time to a close. And I just want to just end it in a prayer, really. Yeah, so just before we go back to, you know, the pressure of the world and all the rest of it, I just want us just to make some space for the Holy Spirit to say, come and remind us, Holy Spirit. Come and teach us. We want to be like that man in that field that, okay, it looks empty at the moment. It looks impossible. It looks like a place we don't want to be. But you help us just leave that comfort of the farmhouse. Help us leave that comfort of the farmhouse and get out in the field. Just as Craig was, as the Holy Spirit was saying, and go with us, Lord. Just go with us, Lord, and just help us to go. Just help us to constantly hear go, 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 but not resist like that towel of all our excuses. We've all got those excuses. Lord, let's say yes. We'll go together, and we will therefore go. Amen.